Reading from A Transcendental Diary, Detroit. This is by Harisouri Prabhu. Lokanath Swami sent a very enthusiastic letter from Himachal Pradesh. He is currently heading up the bus party, which Hamsadutta Swami is in Germany getting more men, vehicles and supplies for their Indian preaching. They are traveling with 24 men, 10 of whom are Indian. He reported that some new Indian boys have joined the party, which was something of a revelation for Lokanath. He described his program as very simple. There is chanting, dancing, distributing a literature, distributing prasad, and encourage and inspire young Indians to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's world-traveling Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada, the results are wonderful. By your grace, in the last only 2 weeks, we got 6 young Indian boys to join our Sankirtan party. We are finding great pleasure to pick up young men and fix them at your lotus feet. In India, our devotees were engaged in making money so far. Preachers at our temples and traveling groups had not tried sincerely to enroll young men and train them as devotees. You explained to me how there is great need of young Indians to join us and train them to become responsible devotees. And now here is the opportunity for me to get these boys and take care of them. This is simply your mercy, Srila Prabhupada. Now I could promise you with confidence that all over India, young men are just waiting for us to pick them up. So far, my godbrothers used to tell me that it was not possible to make devotees in India. But now, you are revealing to us that this is not a fact. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental Sankirtan movement key. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 20. Mam Keshavah Gadaya Pratar Abhyad Govinda Ashangavam Atya Benuhu Narayanaha Prana Udatya Shaktir Madhyan Dine Vishnur Arindra Panihi. What's that? Okay. Hare Krishna. Mam Keshav Gadaya Pratar Abhyad Govinda Asangava Mata Venu.
Govinda Asangava Mata Venu.
Narayana Prana Udatta Shakti.
Narayana Prana Udatta Shakti.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya.
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya.
Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātta Venu.
Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātta Venu.
Narayana Prahana Udatta Shakti.
Narayana Prahana Udatta Shakti.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya.
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya.
Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu.
Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu.
Narayana Prahana Udatta Shakti.
Narayana Prahana Udatta Shakti.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya. Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu.
Narayana Prāṇa Udatta
Shaktir. Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani. Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya. Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu.
Narayana Prāṇa Udatta Shakti.
Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani. Anyone? Matajis?
Maṁ Keshavo Gadaya Prātarabhya. Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu. Narayana Prāṇa Udatta Shakti. Madhandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani. Govinda Āsaṅgava Mātya Venu.
Narayana Prāṇa Udatta Shakti.
Madhyandine Vishnu Ravindra Pani.
Yajan, want to try? No? Why? Maam, me, Keshavaha, Lord Keshava, Gadaya, by his club, Prataha,
in the morning hours,
Abhyat, may he protect,
Govindaha,
Lord Govinda,
Asangavam,
during the second part of the day, Atta
Venu,
holding his flute, Narayanaha.
Narayana.
Lord Narayan with four hands.
Lord Narayan with four hands.
Prahanaha.
Prahanaha.
During the third part of the day.
During the third part of the day.
Udatta Shakti.
Udatta Shakti.
Controlling different types of potencies.
Controlling different types of potencies.
Madhyam Dine.
Madhyam Dine.
During the fourth part of the day.
During the fourth part of the day.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu.
Arindra Panihi.
Arindra Panihi.
Bearing the disc in his hand to kill the enemies. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. And may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayan, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries the disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Please repeat after me. May Lord Keshava protect me.
May Lord Keshava protect me.
With his club in the first portion of the day.
With his club in the first portion of the day.
And may Govinda,
who is always engaged in playing his flute,
protect me in the second portion of the day.
Protect me in the second portion of the day.
May Lord Narayan,
who is equipped with all potencies,
protect me in the third part of the day.
Protect me in the third part of the day.
And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic astronomical calculation, day and night are each divided into 30 ghatikas, 24 minutes. Instead of 12 hours, generally each day and each night is divided into 6 parts consisting of 5 ghatikas. In each of these 6 portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day, and Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion. So, the demigods were in great distress, being troubled by the demons. And in order to get protection, they received this Narayan Kavacha shield. Just as a shield protects us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, in his different forms, in his different names, can give us all protection. When we chant the name of the Lord responds by personally appearing there. Prabhupada emphatically pointed out that the Lord's name and Lord's form are non-different. When we chant his name, he appears, provided the chanting is pure. Impure chanting, offensive chanting, is not the name of the Lord. Only when we chant the holy name of the Lord without any contamination, without any offense, then that name is non-different from the Lord himself. Naam naam akari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala. Do you all know this verse? How many of you know this verse? Please raise your hands. This is a very important verse. All the 8 verses from Shikshashtakam are there. So make it a point to memorize those 8 verses. Which number is this one? Second. Which one is the third one? How many of you know the third verse? Okay. So, who will say which one is the third verse? Okay, you tell. Very good. Trinadopi sunichena tarorapi shahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. How should one chant the holy name of the Lord? Becoming more humble than a blade of grass, being as tolerant as a tree, desiring no respect for oneself, one should be prepared to offer all the respects to others. And in such a state of mind can one chant the pure name of the Lord all the time. Sada Hari. One should chant in this way. The verse before described, what is the holy name? Nam nam akari bohudha nija sarva shakti staktra arpita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has many, many names. He has innumerable names. Bohudha. He has many names. Now how are those names of the Lord? How does the Supreme Personality of Godhead get his names? How does he get his name? Because his father gave it to him? Or because Gargamuni came and gave him the name? No. His names are synonymous to his qualities and pastimes. Like in English also, I'm sure in German also, it's actually coming from the Latin expression. God is expressed as, God is addressed as omnipotent. Isn't it? Omnipotent. Omni means all. Potent means powerful. Now who is all powerful? God is all powerful. Therefore he is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Therefore he is omniscient. Similarly, in Sanskrit, Krishna means all attractive. Narayan means one who is the shelter of all the living entities. Narayana iti Narayan. Govinda. He has a name called Govinda, right? What is the meaning of Govinda? He gives pleasure to the cows, therefore he is Govinda. He gives pleasure to the cows. Madhava. He is the Lord of Lakshmi Devi. Therefore he is Madhava. Keshava. Why his name is Keshava? Because he has beautiful hair. Kesha means hair and Keshava. He has beautiful hair. He has beautiful curly hair. So who has beautiful curly hair? Krishna has. He is the most beautiful. He is Gopinath because he is the Lord of the Gopis. He is Nanda Dulal because he is the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in this way the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable names. And in his each name his entire potency has been invested. So if the entire potency of the Lord is there in the name, then what does it mean? If his entire potency is there, that means he is there. Right? His entire potency means he himself. So that is Krishna's transcendental potency. He is so powerful because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his name he can become manifest. And is it difficult for Krishna to become manifest in his name? If he can manifest in our dirty hearts, he can very well become manifest in his holy name. If he can be in every single atom, why can't he be in his holy name? Therefore, we have to understand that Krishna is there in his holy name. The holy name is Krishna himself. And with that understanding, we should chant the name of the Lord. Now here we are seeing that the demigods are creating that shield with Narayana Kavacha. Kavacha means a shield. Just a shield, nowadays they don't wear. Yeah, they do bulletproof jackets. They do wear bulletproof jackets. So the warriors used to wear shields, armors, so that the weapon could not harm them. But this is a transcendental shield, this Narayan Kavacha. And this is how the demigods create their protection. Actually, the demigods are immortal. Because they drink nectar, they are actually immortal. But Prabhupada said that they do not have confidence on nectar. Therefore, although they are immortal, they don't fully act with that understanding. They become afraid. A person who is immortal, what should he be afraid of? Right? But demigods do not have proper confidence in nectar. On the other hand, a devotee, he is fearless because he has full confidence in the Supreme Personality of God. In this way we can see a devotee's situation is far superior to a demigod. Demigods take shelter of nectar in order to become immortal. But the devotees know that just by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they have become immortal. What is death? What is death? Death is simply changing of body. Now, as a devotee, what is the first lesson we get? What is the first lesson? We are not this body. What are we? We are spirit souls. And what is the characteristic of spirit soul? Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. The spirit soul is never born and the spirit soul will never die. So, we are not our bodies. We are spirit souls. Right? The spirit souls never die. A is equal to B and B is equal to C. So what is the simple arithmetics? What is simple mathematics? A is equal to B, B is equal to C, therefore A is equal to C. Right? We are spirit souls never die. So we will never die. Isn't it simple understanding? Who dies? The body dies. As long as we identify ourselves with the body, we will die. But if we identify ourselves with the spirit souls, we'll never die. So anyway, the demigods are attached to their bodies. Because they have a beautiful body, which lives for a long, long time, which has all kinds of facilities. They can actually fulfill their desires just by their wish. whatever they desire will be fulfilled. Isn't it wonderful? It's a wonderful facility, but still, it is a cause of material bondage. Therefore, demigods are attached. Attached to what? Attached to their material facilities. Attached to the sense gratification. Whereas the devotees, are the devotees attached to the sense gratification? Are you attached to your sense gratification? I'm sure not. Okay, again, another simple equation. Devotees are not attached to sense gratification. You are a devotee. Therefore, you are not attached to sense gratification. Actually, devotees are not attached to sense gratification, but Krishna gives them all the facilities. As devotees are not meant to suffer, devotees enjoy. Devotees enjoy in the most wonderful way. In the spiritual sky, what the devotees do? They enjoy in the most inconceivable way. Especially in Vrindavan, everywhere, in Vaikuntha, in Ayodhya, in Dwarka, in Mathura, and ultimately in Vrindavan, devotees get the highest form of enjoyment. That enjoyment, of course, is not relative to the mundane senses. Their senses are not mundane to begin with. Their senses are spiritual. Why their senses are spiritual? Because they have intense love for Krishna. Due to their love for Krishna, they are connected to Krishna. And because they are connected to Krishna, they are spiritually situated. When one becomes separated from Krishna, then only he develops his material attachments. And along with the material attachment comes his material body, gross body and subtle body. So Krishna consciousness is teaching us how to become connected to Krishna. How does one become connected to Krishna? What is the force that connects us? What is the unifying force? What is the force that connects, that unifies? What do we call that force? Yeah, okay. Yeah, but ultimately, love. Love is actually a force, a potency. And what does love do? When two persons are in love with each other, what happens? They become united. And when they hate each other, what happens? They become separated. So now we want to become united with Krishna. What should we do? We must develop our love for Krishna. And that personification of that love is Srimati Radha. Therefore, we take shelter of Srimati Radha. Please connect me to Krishna. Engage me in Krishna's loving devotional service. What does it mean? Why is that? Why do we want to become engaged in loving devotional service? Because we want to become connected to Krishna. As you are saying, sambandha. Sambandha means the connection. So, Krishna is very kind. Krishna wants us to become connected to Him. Krishna wants us to go back to Him. It is we who do not want to go back to Him. And as long as we are separated from Him, Krishna is taking care of us. Even the demons Krishna take care of. So what to speak of devotees? And what to speak of one becomes completely surrendered to Krishna. Krishna gives, not only gives him all protection, Krishna takes care of him in all respects. So as a devotee, we don't have to pray for our protection. Therefore, we don't really pray to Krishna for protection. Demigods, they are asking for protection. Why are they asking for protection? Because they are attached to their sense gratification. They are afraid of losing their situation in the heavenly planet. But a devotee, what is a devotee's mood? Krishna, marubi rakhubi jo iccha tohara. If you want to keep me or if you want to kill me, it's entirely up to you. Jo iccha tohara. Whatever is your desire, let that be. So that is the mood of a devotee. That is the devotion that Srila Prabhupada taught us with his instructions, and that is how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become situated in our spiritual life. That is called pure devotional service. When there is desire for enjoyment, when the devotional service is rendered with a desire for enjoyment, it is called karma mishra bhakti or karma yoga. When devotional service is mixed with the desire for liberation, it is called jnana mishra bhakti or jnana yoga. But when it is jnana karmad anabritam, when the devotion is free from jnana and karma, when the devotion is free for any desire for enjoyment, and when the devotion is free even from the desire of liberation, that is called pure devotional service. And Prabhupada said in ISKCON, everyone is a pure devotee. When Prabhupada said that, other devotees there, they became little surprised. Why Prabhupada is saying that everyone in this room is a pure devotee? And they asked Prabhupada, the new bhaktas who joined just the other day, even they are pure devotees? Prabhupada said, yes. In ISKCON, even the new bhaktas are pure devotees. Then when the devotees further question Prabhupada, then Prabhupada says, it's a matter of green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green, but if the mango stays in the tree, in course of time, the mango will become ripe. So one may be a new bhakta, but if he stays in ISKCON, in due course of time, he will become a ripe mango. He will become a pure devotee. Therefore, once you come to ISKCON, don't ever leave ISKCON. Just stay in ISKCON and you will become a pure devotee. ISKCON is a factory for manufacturing pure devotees. In a factory, through the machines, you go through different processing and then the end product comes out. So ISKCON is that factory where the end product will be pure devotees. Now one may question, how is it possible? Is it that easy? The answer is yes, it's that easy. It's that easy. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because ISKCON is like a lift. What is the tallest building in Germany? Main tower. How many floors? I see. 100? Maybe 100. Yeah. Okay. Okay, it's a transcendental tower. So now, if you have to climb on top of the Main tower, how difficult will it be? Did anybody ever try to climb on foot? But when you go there, what happens? Do you climb? Rather, you go into the lift. And in no time, you're there. Isn't it? So similarly, ISKCON is the transcendental lift that takes us from the material nature to spiritual sky. That takes us to Vrindavan. So when you go into a lift, what do? You just stay in the lift, and the lift takes you there. So similarly, in this transcendental lift to Golok Vrindavan, we simply have to stay. If you jump overboard, then what will happen? Then you'll be in trouble. Therefore, once you join ISKCON, don't jump overboard. Unless you join, those who didn't join, their case is different. But those who have joined ISKCON, they should never ever leave ISKCON. Even though you may not like it, still stay here. Often we hear people say, oh, they didn't treat me well and so forth. Well, sometimes there will be difficulty. When we are together with 25 people, it's not going to be smooth going all the time. It's not going to be easy all the time. What to speak of 25 people? When two people live together, they can't. How many marriages are breaking off in this age? Even two people cannot stay together. And in ISKCON, consider 25,000 devotees. So how can you expect that everything will be easy and smooth? There may be difficulties. It is our relationships may not be smooth, but ISKCON is perfect, isn't it? ISKCON is perfect. The way Srila Prabhupada made it is perfect. He created an international society for Krishna consciousness, where all the devotees from all over the world can become perfectly situated. And then Prabhupada gave the books. The books are the basis. And Prabhupada gave the process that's going to purify us. And the purity is the force. And preaching is the essence. What are we supposed to do in ISKCON? When we are in ISKCON, actually we notice the trouble actually starts when we want to have a nice, comfortable situation for ourselves. Then only we conflict. But when you go out to preach, have you ever seen devotees are fighting because someone is stopping him from preaching? No, I never seen that. That he is stopping my preaching, that's why I am angry with. No, rather, we become angry that we didn't get the Mahaprasad plate. But for preaching, there is no dearth of opportunities. We can just walk out of the temple and just, we don't have to go very far, just standing in the street we can preach. Isn't it? There is no dearth of preaching. There is no lack of opportunities to preach. We must remember that we have come here to serve. The trouble starts when you try to lord over. This is my bed. Why did you come here? This is my room. This is my temple. This is my zone. And that's why we fight. Not for preaching. For preaching there is no need for a bed, a room, or a zone. And rather we become excited when somebody comes to preach. Like I came here and Keshava Prabhu had been begging me for the last 2 years. Please Maharaj come. And since I was very busy last year, I couldn't come. And I told him that I will come this year. And now I had some difficulty. I was thinking of telling Keshava Prabhu, Keshava Prabhu, I have to go back to Ujjain for Janmashtami. And please excuse me this year. I'll come back next year. But I didn't feel like telling him that. I thought, okay. So I went back to India for Janmashtami, and right after Janmashtami I came back. And I'm happy that I came, because preaching is the essence. Preaching is our life. Didn't you feel happy yesterday when so many people came and they were ecstatically chanting and listening so carefully, attentively, and appreciating our endeavor of Rath Yatra festival. So when we preach, everything becomes so wonderful. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized, we should just preach. I'll tell you one very informative instruction. This I actually heard from one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. I didn't hear it directly from Srila Prabhupada. He was telling me that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was in Mayapur, and I think they had some sort of festival or something where, like, we have the GBC meeting, all the sannyasis came. And two sannyasis were fighting. Because one sannyasi went to, they also had zones, areas for preaching, areas, not areas for preaching, that was area for collection. So, one sannyasi was accusing the other sannyasi that why did you come to my zone and collect? So the other sannyasi said, look, I was just near that area, so some devotees came and requested me to come to that place, to your zone. And so I thought, they're inviting, I'm so close, so I'll just go and... They gave some donation, so okay, I took the donation and I gave it back to the temple. And so they were fired, but the other person won't listen, he was just accusing him heavily. And then at one point, when they looked up, they saw that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was standing at the door. And when they saw him, they immediately became quiet and offered obeisance. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told them that actually it's not your fault that you're fighting, it's my fault. He said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the kings and monarchs give up everything and become mendicants. And I picked you up from gutters and made you live in palaces. And therefore you'll be fighting like cats and dogs, it's natural. Now we have to understand that, yes, there will be palaces for preaching. There will be all kinds of facilities for preaching. But exclusively for preaching, for expansion of Krishna consciousness. At our heart we should be completely detached. That is the important thing. We should remain detached. Facilities will come. To spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, we have to create all kinds of facilities. In order to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, we have to deal with not only millions of dollars, we have to deal with billions of dollars. Otherwise, how this movement is going to spread? If we live under a tree, then this movement won't spread. In order to make this movement spread, we have to make all kinds of arrangements. And we should be prepared for that. And it's important that at heart we remain detached. We have to deal with all kinds of all kinds of wealth, all kinds of facilities, all kinds of luxuries, all kinds of comforts. But at heart we have to be detached. Then only we can avoid our internal conflict. Like another instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta, another statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw that the devotees are fighting over the rooms, who will stay in which room? When the big mart was built in Bagh Bazar, so, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's comment was, I feel like selling the marbles and print books. So we must recognize facilities will come, but we should not become attached to the facility. We have to deal with them because, as Prabhupada said, if I stayed under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, I would have been very happy. But you all wouldn't have come. In order to bring people, in order to attract people to Krishna consciousness, we have to create all these facilities. In order to deal with people, in order to impress people, in order to attract people, we have to have facilities. But at heart we should be detached. And isn't it natural that all that we know, all that we learned, we should naturally become detached? When can death come? Can we say that death will come after 100 years? Death can come at any moment. Can you say that, well, at least I have 25 years to die? Can you say that? No, we don't know when death will come. Maybe death will come after, why 25 years? Maybe death will come after 250 years. But we should be prepared at every moment. Death may come. If death comes now, what am I going to do? Am I going to look towards the material direction, or am I going to look towards Krishna? So we should be very, very careful that if we have a single attachment, if we have a single attachment, if we have a slightest attachment, we have to come back. If you are attached even to the lamppost or the street corner, you have to come back. Therefore, attachment means what? Attachment means looking towards the material direction. But what we have to do, we have to look towards Krishna. We have to question ourselves constantly. Am I ready to give everything up? Just ask this question to yourself. Are you ready to give up everything and tell Krishna, okay Krishna, I'm ready to go back to you? What will be your answer? How many of you are ready? Huh? Okay, did you understand what I asked? What did you understand? If death comes now, just now, if death comes, will you look towards Krishna or will you look towards material nature? Okay, so. Look towards Krishna means, are you ready to give everything up and attach, develop your attachment? I mean, become fully surrendered to Krishna. Krishna, you have come in the form of death. Okay, I'll go back to you. So how many of you are ready? Or am I forcing you to raise your hand? Anyway, if you are not ready, prepare yourself. Get ready. Because there is no way of knowing when death will come. Or are you thinking that, well, at the time of death I'll think about it. When it comes, I will think about it. No, death will not come with any warning. Death can come at any moment. Especially with so many terrorists floating around. Death has become even more prominent now, even more accessible now. It can come any moment. There can be an explosion, and that may be the end. So, can you confidently say, well, at a ripe old age, lying on my bed, surrounded by devotees, chanting the holy name, I am going to leave my body? There is no guarantee. Therefore, we should be prepared. On our part, we should be prepared. How Krishna will arrange it, that is different. But on our part, we should be prepared. Krishna, I am ready. Okay, it's something like, say, how many of you drive a car? Okay. How many of you have a car that is 5 years old? How many of you have a car that's 3 years old? Or how many of you have a car that is 2 years old? Oh, I mean, okay, say 2 years or more. Okay, let me put it this way. Say you have an old car, right? You have an old car. Then Keshava Prabhu makes an offer. That you give up your old car, I'll give you a new car. How many of you will accept that offer? And will you say, well, I'll wait for some time, and then I'll accept your offer? Because this offer is so wonderful, right? Instead of an old car, you're getting a new car. Now similarly, if there is an opportunity to get a new body instead of an old one, won't you be excited about that proposal? How many of you think that you have an old body? Okay, so if the body is, even if it's 25 years old, it's an old body. It's 25 years old. So if we get, instead of a 25-year-old body, if we get a new body, what's the harm? And what to speak of if that body is a spiritual body? Therefore, we should always be prepared to receive that gift from Krishna. And that's why devotees are not interested in protection. Krishna will give protection when he thinks it is necessary. But when Krishna thinks that there is no need for protection, then we should be ready for that. Like a wonderful example is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was in the womb of his mother, Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra, the most deadly weapon. Compared to Brahmastra, all these atomic weapons, the nuclear weapons are like firecrackers. But that Brahmastra was released and he was protected. When he was in his mother's womb, he did not have any ability to defend himself. At that time, Krishna came and protected him. Now the same Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed by a Brahmana boy that he will die of a snake bite. Now what does it actually mean? How did Parikshit Maharaj take it? Parikshit Maharaj thought that when I was in my mother's womb, totally unprotected, totally incapable of defending myself, at that time, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, protected me. So now, that he came, that he arranged that I should die through this Brahmana's curse, Why should I defend myself? Jai Shri Shri Gaurnithai Ki. So that should be our mood. And so one final point I wanted to make about this verse is that the demigods are praying that different aspects of Krishna, different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead would protect them. Like Keshav in the early hours of the day, then Govinda in the second half of the day, then Narayan in the third half of the day, and Vishnu at the fourth portion of the day. So this is how he is actually praying, the different aspects of the Lord would protect them. Now, all these aspects of the Lord, all these incarnations of the Lord are in Krishna. They all are emanations from Krishna, therefore they all are in Krishna. Therefore, when we chant the holy name, we don't have to chant all the other names. All the names are there. Therefore, we don't pray, Keshav, in the morning you protect me. Govinda, in the afternoon you protect me, and so forth. We simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And our mood is, Krishna, do whatever you want to do. If you want to protect me, you can do so. If you want to destroy me, you can do so. I'm just ready. I'm simply your humble servant. Nitya dasa prati tua adhikara. You have complete right over your eternal servant. Now you decide whether you are going to kill me or whether you are going to keep me. Marobi rakhobi yoichato. That is our prayer. Hare Krishna, does anybody have any question? Yes.
How does the mother get one attached from their children?
How the mothers
should get one attached.
Unattached or detachment. Well, you see, our detachment is not artificial. It's not Falgu Vairagya, artificial renunciation. Ours is Yukta Vairagya. Okay, Krishna sent me a son, so my business is to take care of him, to bring him up. We don't say, because I'm a devotee. No. Our business is to use everything in Krishna's service. So if the mothers have children, they should take care of the children and bring them up to become pure devotees of Krishna. Similarly, if you have money, use it in Krishna's service. If you have a house, use it in Krishna's service. If you have a car, use it in Krishna's service. And this way you become constantly engaged in Krishna's service. That's the solution. And then what will happen? If you engage everything in Krishna's service, then you'll automatically become detached. Then when the time of death comes, you say, okay, they were all Krishna's, nothing was known. So I can very happily leave now. And wherever Krishna takes me, there will be other facilities to render service to him. Any other question? Yeah, Stoka.
When we put on tilak and say Om Kriya Shivaya Namaha,
The way we put the tilak, or the reason we put tilak in the marks, to indicate that these are the situation, these are the different areas where the Lord is residing in different centers of the body. We don't say Keshava Rakshamam. Keshava protect me. We say Lalate Keshavam. We don't say Narayan, you protect me at the afternoon. Narayana Thoda. Yes.
You spoke about the karma of the spiritual body. So, my understanding is the spiritual eternally pleasure seeking, as we also have in literature. So, when we perform emotional service, we experience this very pleasurable experience. Now, there is some lightning that affects our senses. And then a certain desire comes up to be engaged in devotional service because you somehow get this happiness the soul is searching for. Not in the sense of, I want to enjoy this service, but you know, if I do this service, I also will be fulfilled. Like as a need, basic need of the soul. Can you also call that karma mishra bhakti, or is this just a natural tendency?
You see, it will be karma mishra bhakti if there is the desire for sense gratification. But if it is simply rendered to give pleasure to Krishna or promote Krishna consciousness without any selfish motivation, then it's pure devotion. Like an example is, say, an ambassador from Germany. Say he goes, he is sent to Timbuktu. Or say a very troubled country like Somalia. Somalia is in terrible shape. But when an ambassador from Germany goes to Somalia, does he suffer there? No, the German government makes all the arrangements for him. Now, the ambassador doesn't become an ambassador because he is going to get some nice facility. Right? His business is to serve his country, represent his country. Right? And he is prepared to accept any situation. But the country takes care of him. Similarly, a devotee simply wants to serve Krishna. Now consider, if a tiny little country like Germany can take care of their ambassadors in such a wonderful way, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how will he take care of his ambassadors? So Krishna will always take care of his devotees. The devotees say, devotee's prayer is, or devotee's statement is, that the position of Brahma, position of Indra, becomes like the position of an insect. So you can imagine how exalted is the position of a devotee. If he had nothing, then how can he say that Brahma's position is insignificant? He doesn't desire anything, but what Krishna gives him, compared to that, Brahma's position becomes completely insignificant. The devotees don't have to separately desire for anything. Krishna will provide. That's why devotional service is considered to be the most exalted position. If it was a position of suffering, why would anybody want to become a devotee? Does anybody want to suffer? Actually, one wants to become a devotee because this is the situation of real enjoyment. The real enjoyment. A devotee doesn't desire enjoyment, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't get enjoyment. Like Anandambudhi Vardhanam. like an ocean of joy, ocean of bliss, keeps on increasing. That's the situation of a devotee. A devotee's situation is not a situation of suffering. A devotee's situation is a situation of highest enjoyment. But he doesn't make any arrangement for that enjoyment. Krishna makes that arrangement. Krishna provides.
Is there a difference between
Krishna
and enjoyment and inner enjoyment?
There is only one enjoyment, inner enjoyment. Outer is suffering. Through the body, all you get is suffering. Even so-called enjoyment to the body is also suffering. Like people enjoy by drinking. And next morning, how do they feel? You call it enjoyment? It's all suffering, nothing but suffering. Yes.
Maharaj, we see really also here that the one name of Krishna is so powerful that it can free one from the sin that he is not able to commit. So this is like offensive chanting, or this is offenseless chanting?
And this pure chanting. Pure chanting. No, actually, not even, it's actually the nama, the harsh stage, clearing stage of chanting, pure chanting, all the sins. Pure chanting gives prema. So it is, when the offenses are reduced, at that stage one gets, freedom from all sinful reactions. Yes, Chandra Shekhar.
Sometimes I hear that's why we, that's bhakti, and some other times it's described as karma.
That it will depend on that tatkurusha madarpanam, it what state of mind one is offering it to Krishna. Right? If like the demigods are offering, but with a desire. With some mundane desire. So then it's karma yoga. But generally, to come to that stage of doing everything for Krishna can be done only when in pure devotion. The perfection of that state is in pure devotion. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, in the real sense, do it for Krishna. Tat kurusha madarpanam. You see, there can be, here again we can go back to the difference between karma mishra bhakti and pure devotion. The karma mishra bhakti is, we do it for our enjoyment. Right? But offer the results to Krishna. So when you jat karusi, jadasnasi, say when you doing something for our sake, but offering the results to Krishna. When you're cooking for our tongue and offering it to Krishna, then it is not pure devotion. But when it is done, the same actions, when it is done exclusively for Krishna's pleasure, then it is pure devotion.
One devotee was mentioning something to me a while ago. He'd heard, but he wasn't sure if it was true, so I wanted a clarification. The demigods, that they don't get any karmic reaction, they're just experiencing their good karma. Is that true in light of the fact that sometimes demigods are attacked or Indra gets cursed? Does that not mean that they also have something?
Yeah. You see, kshine pulne martta lokam vishanti. See, one goes to the heavenly planets with the power of their pious activities. Right? When they go to the heavenly planet, there they do not generate any new karma. Right? But bad karma will nullify their good karma. If they do something wrong, then the piety that they have in stock will be minus. It's something like, you know, somebody goes on a vacation, right? He has taken his whole year's savings. He goes there. When he goes to, say, when the Germans go to Italy in summer vacation, there they don't earn any more money, right? There they go just to spend. And when the money is finished, they have to come back to Germany. I heard in Italy there's a joke, there's a saying that the Italians don't work throughout the year. They make the Germans work for them. They come in summer and pay whatever they have saved throughout the year. So the situation of going to heaven is something like that. You make your pai chi and then you go there. Then when the pai chi is finished, fall down to the material nature, fall down to the earth planet.
If they do something bad while they're up, then their pai chi goes down.
Yeah, then, yeah. If they, that is their pai chi goes down, yeah. Thank you. Yes, Malcolm.
You said you want us all to suffer, you want us to enjoy, and then we see that you want us to experience suffering. So, should they see it as a purification? And also, does it mean that they're not in a high platform?
Yeah, you see, like the suffering, the experience of suffering will be relative to the degree of our attachment. Now, a person who is attached, he will experience that same suffering, will be very, very intense. But if the person is detached, then the same suffering will not have any effect on him. Like, for example, externally it may appear, oh, a devotee got cancer, and he is suffering so much. But the devotee himself, who is not attached to his body, if he is not attached to his body, he won't feel the pain at all. In that respect, I often remember Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Like, from the material point of view, like, he was going through an excruciatingly painful situation. But whoever went and saw him, we saw he was not at all affected by that. When I would speak to him, I couldn't even imagine that there was some, I mean, he has any physical difficulty. He was absolutely normal. He used to speak the way when he was in a hale and hearty condition, and even a few days before he left, the same person. Now, was he suffering? No, because his consciousness was withdrawn from his body. Therefore, whatever is happening to the body didn't affect him. Like in the operation theater, somebody is cutting, the doctor is cutting, the surgeon is cutting the patient. Does the patient feel anything? Just to hear about it, oh, his heart has been taken out, his ribs have been opened up, and his heart has been taken out. How does it sound? But is he feeling anything? No, why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? Because of the anesthetics, see? The anesthetics. What does anesthetics do? They numb the nervous system. Is that right, Sonia? They numb the nervous system. Therefore, the nerves don't carry the impressions anymore to the brain. So, the person doesn't really feel anything. So similarly, I mean, that is done artificially through some drugs, anesthesia. But with a devotee, it happens naturally. His consciousness is withdrawn from the body and projected into spirit. Therefore, what happens to the body is not, doesn't affect him. He doesn't register that. So, Krishna consciousness is the natural way to withdraw our consciousness from the body by projecting it into Krishna. Now, why should we do that? Because by doing that, we will get what we actually wanting through the body. Through the body, we are actually searching for enjoyment. The jiva is also anandamaya. Jiva also wants to enjoy. But the problem is we are trying to enjoy through this body, which will never work. The real enjoyment is in being Krishna conscious, being in projecting our consciousness onto Krishna, who is the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, and if we become connected to Krishna, then we also get pleasure. It's not that Krishna consciousness means to suffer. It's not that devotees have to suffer. That sometimes devotees develop some misunderstanding. Oh, I'm a devotee, so I must suffer. No, that's artificial. You're a devotee, therefore you should enjoy. Real enjoyment. And the real enjoyment is in being connected to Krishna.